So we get the chance this week to shine the spotlight on another extraordinary life. This one really the stuff of legend, except it's all true. Corrie ten Boom was the brave watchmaker's daughter who endured the concentration camps of the Second World War because she and her family had the courage to reach out and shield the Jews of occupied Holland. Writer Stan Guthrie has authored a fresh look at her story and inspires us to learn from it today. His great new book is Victorious, Corrie ten Boom and the Hiding Place. And Stan is editor-at-large for the Colson Center for Christian Worldview and a former editor and writer for Christianity Today. Welcome aboard, Stan. How's it going on this fine day, sir?
I am having a pleasant day. I'm looking out my window and seeing the snowflakes begin to fall here in Chicagoland again. We've had 22 snows now this winter, but none of them have been too bad, and we haven't yet dropped below zero, so I think we can count our blessings.
Well, sir, it just becomes clear in the pages of this great book that you really wanted to reintroduce this story to a new generation that might know Corrie ten Boom quotes, these epic quotes about faith and forgiveness, but not really know her story all that well. Why were you so passionate to do that? What is it about this one remarkable life that resonates for us across the years?
Well, first I have to make a confession, and that is that I was one of those people who was well acquainted with the outlines of her story and knew many of her quotes. And, it's kind of like when you pick up a few Bible stories in Sunday school about Jonah and, the whale or whatever, and you don't have the whole outline of what happened.
Of course.
I was kind of that guy. But I knew that Corrie was basically a modern Protestant saint. And when I was asked to do this book, I thought, okay, well, this is a book that people are going to read. I better get this one right. So I was very careful, and I was providentially blessed. You mentioned to me off the air that your station was started by Billy Graham. Well,
yes.
I happen to live near Wheaton, Illinois, and there's the Billy Graham Center there on the campus of Wheaton College, and they have a section called the Archives, the Billy Graham Archives. And so, I mean, talk about providential. There are hundreds and hundreds of pages of documentation from Corrie's life and ministry. And so I was able to dig into a lot of that material and discover things that I think had been kind of forgotten or never known about her.
So if we're going to know one piece of Corrie's story, it's probably going to be that she was imprisoned in a concentration camp during the Second World War. But what was
right.
it that got her there, sir?
Well, she got into a concentration camp because she and her family were hiding Jewish peoples during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands during the Second World War. And they hid them. They hid probably about 80 people over the course of 2 years. And they were turned in by an informant to the Gestapo. And she, her father, and her sister and another sister were sent off to a prison. The father died in the first week at that prison, which Corrie didn't find out till months and months later. Her other sister was released, Noli was released, and her older sister, Betsy, who appears often in the book, died in the concentration camp, the Ravensbrück concentration camp. That was the third place that they had been moved to. Just really weeks before Corrie was released through a clerical error at the end of 1944.
Perhaps the most enduring message of all is the call to forgive. This incredible strength that she has to find forgiveness for the very guards that held her there in the camps. As you refreshed your mind and your heart with her story, what did you discover as you revisited the story just about how she was able to find the strength to do that?
The thing that I really noticed when I was digging into Corrie's life was the fact that she's really much like you and me. I mean, she was not a superhuman person. She was not given more spiritual power than we have, but she had been, how shall I say it? She had been prepared through decades of service and ministry, of disappointments and successes, of training. And so when the time came, she was able to draw on those rich resources of faith and fortitude to be able to make it through these these awful times. But she was far from perfect, and you'll see that in the book. I mean, she had a really pretty strong temper, and there was a scene that was portrayed in The Hiding Place. I recapped in my book where one of the guards at Ravensbrück was mocking her sister Betsy and was actually whipping her because Betsy was unable to keep up with the work. And Corey picked up a shovel and she was going to go at the guard when she wasn't looking. And Betsy restrained her. I'm not sure exactly how Betsy restrained her because she was so weak, but, and those kind of character issues she had to deal with, you know, for all of her adult life. And she lived a very long and productive life, but she was far from perfect.
One of the things that I hadn't realized before reading the book and reading up on the story just a little bit more is we may never have known the story of the 10 booms were it not for something that Betsy, Corey's sister, said to her, Stan, that they must tell others what had happened. That really seems to have been the initial driving force that led to Corey traveling the world, the book, and eventually the film. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what was the precipitating factor that drove her really from the Netherlands to the United States and eventually to 60 countries. As I studied it, I saw that her reception of her message was much less in the Netherlands than it was in the United States. The evangelicals, the Christians in our country were really primed for it for a number of reasons, and they started supporting her financially early on. I mean, this was a 50-something Dutch woman who had very few contacts, but she really felt called to go overseas. And I think one of her first stops was New York City. And she was basically, you know, looking for someone to invite her to speak about what had just happened, you know, a couple of years before. So she started in a very modest way, and it grew organically by the power of the Holy Spirit, word of mouth, that kind of thing. And so now she's still a household name, even decades after her death.
It's a beautiful truth. And you mentioned it just a few moments ago, but you focus a good bit on the courage that it took to start actively helping these Jewish folks that were in such danger there in Holland in the Nazi regime. And I mean, we know that's courageous just from what we know about the history. But when you consider the fact that the regime that had taken power, this Nazi regime, was able to do so in a country in Germany that was so well educated and that was so religiously literate, and that so many people that really knew all of this did nothing out of the fear of what would happen to them. I mean, this was an act of incredible courage.
It was, and yet the resistance movement, I think there was probably around 50 or 60,000 people who were involved in the underground movement in the Netherlands. And that's a sizable, you could fill a stadium with it.
Yes, you could.
And many of those people were Christians. And one of the most interesting things that I found in my research for this book, Ryan, is the fact that interest in the Jews was really rekindled 100 years before the Gestapo knocked at Corey's door. There was a Jewish man. He was an intellectual and a poet. His name was Isaac da Costa, and he was reading the prophecies of Isaiah and other things in the Hebrew scriptures, and he realized that Jesus was his Messiah, and he became a believer. And not only did he spur sort of a reawakening to the Bible as the Word of God, he also focused the larger church on the need to reach out to the Jewish people. And one of the early people who came on board with him and founded something called the Society for Israel was Willem ten Boom, who actually was Corey's grandfather. And so he taught all his children, you know, God's love for the Jews and Christian responsibility to them. And that was passed on to her father, Casper, who passed it on to his family. So it was just a matter of course. By the time you know, a decision had to be made. They didn't suddenly say, oh, we need to protect these Jewish people that we've heard about. They loved them and loved them for decades. And Caspar Ten Boom, her father, was well-loved and regarded in the Jewish community, and he had a reputation for speaking about the Bible with them and sitting down and reading the Torah with them. And, it's just an amazing story, but it didn't just happen overnight. The roots had to be planted deep so that they were all ready for what would happen.
It makes so much sense when you describe it that way. And, of course, so much of what you write really is a call to learn from the life that Corey lived and the Ten Booms, and really applications we can draw and implement in our lives today. And I wonder those two things specifically, the courage to act on what you know is right, and the fact that God was able to so mightily use someone who was so deeply good but not perfect. What are some of the tentacles that you draw us toward in those two things?
Well, when you talk about the courage to act, the first thing that comes to mind is just the fact that anti-Semitism is still with us. Whether it's members of Congress who indulge in that, or various countries that have that. We've had numerous attacks on synagogues in this country in the last several years. And I think we Christians bear a special responsibility to stand with the Jewish people, not only because of our biblical link, but because, unfortunately, of historical Christian anti-Semitism, which I cover just a little bit in the book, and say that, whether or not we personally would have done it, our Christian heritage is mixed inextricably with a lot of horrible anti-Semitic acts. And so I think we bear a special responsibility to let our Jewish friends and neighbors know that we stand with them. And that requires courage even now, not to the extent that Corey and her family had to face, but, you're tested in the little things before you have to face the big things. He who is faithful in little is also faithful in much. So let's start building our courageous muscles now while we, still have the freedom to do so.
There it is. That is a great call for us. And of course, time goes swiftly when you're talking about something that is so deeply important and just such a great book. It's called Victorious, Corey Ten Boom and the Hiding Place. Mr. Stan Guthrie, the author and editor at large for the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, former editor and writer for Christianity Today, the blog stanguthrie.com. A lot of great words there from Stan. Sir, we don't want to go anywhere before we talk about where to go to pick up a copy of the book and learn more about you.
Well, thanks very much. You can go to my website for information about me, stanguthrie.com. You can also go to Amazon or christianbook.com, or anywhere you buy a book, you can ask for Victorious, Corey Ten Boom in the Hiding Place, and they can help you.
Wherever fine books are sold.
Exactly.
Sir, just a tremendous achievement. Congratulations on the book. Love the history. Love the incredible, really, applications we can draw today. Thank you so much for talking about it with us today.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Have a great day.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.